Good morning. Today's Daf in Kiddushin Nun Test. We are starting today the third parak of the Masechta. We're at the midway point. Not in terms of Dapim. In terms of Dapim, we're closer to the end than we are to the beginning, but in terms of Parakim. So it's a four parak Masechta, and this is parak number three, which means that we are in the second half of the Masechta vis-a-vis Parakim. We are in the Masechta of Kiddushin. We are talking about Shlichus. I know this has been a topic that we've already discussed. Gemara is going to note that. Gemara is going to point out that some of the Mishnayos over here are going to sound repetitive. No Mishnah is repetitive. Every Mishnah is to present a separate and new Chiddush. So obviously, we're going to be discussing a little bit later on. This Mishnah seems to be similar to previous Mishnayos that we learned. Ta'omer l'chaveiro. We jump right in. We're in the Mishnah on Nun Ches Amud Beis, the beginning of the new Perek. Ta'omer l'chaveiro tzivek harish l'isha plonis. So you go to a friend and say, look, I'm interested in a particular woman. I've identified who my partner in life is going to be, and can you be mekadesh her for me? Already at the beginning of the second parak, we established that you can make a shliach in order to be mekadesh a woman. You should do it yourself. It's preferable for you to do it yourself. That is what we learned at the beginning of the second parak. But nevertheless, a shliach works. And over here, you're appointing a shliach in order to be mekadesh. So the shliach goes, and the shliach looks at the woman and says, you know what? I think I'm interested. And so what the shliach does is he takes advantage of the opportunity. Fantastic opportunity came to him in which he just met his life partner. So now he decides that he's going to be mekadesh, and it works. And it works to the kiddushin works for the shliach. Okay, certainly a shout out to the beginning of the second parak in which it's preferable to do it yourself. Now we said it's preferable to do it yourself because mitzvah bo yoster mi b'shlucha. It's better for you to do the mitzvah. And if I can remind everyone, repeat the Rashi that we saw in the beginning of the second parak. So Rashi says it's because you're going to get more schar. You put more effort in, you're going to get more schar. That's why it's better for you to do the mitzvah. And we can also add, by the way, somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but not even really, just pragmatically. In other words, if you want the job done, do it yourself. No, don't get somebody else to do it. You don't know what kind of job he's going to do. Over here, you sent a sheikh to be mekadesh a woman for you. He does it for himself. Okay. So the, anyway.
Did the woman know that you were did she know?
It doesn't matter, right? In other words, correct. Right. What Phil's wondering, by the way, and I see this is hit by Rishonim and Achronim, is that this seems to be a pretty obvious point. Meaning the shliach himself is certainly not in good faith. Right. We could say that. But at the same time, however, meaning it's when all said and done, the shliach decided, you know what? I'm no longer going to be a shliach. You can disrobe from being a shliach if you like to do so. Okay. Anyway, there is something to consider over here. V'chein, we go back to the Mishnah. So let's say you go to a woman and you say, oh, look, I'm going to be mekadesh you, but 30-day delay. Alachr shloshim yom. You give her the kesef kedushin right now, but you say that what I'd like to do is I'd like to delay the effect of the kedushin for another 30 days. Now, you could do so. Now, why would you do so? It's a wonderful question. I'm not sure, but that's not the point. The point is that now, you are right now in delay. And another person comes in within those 30 days and says, look, I'm interested in being mekadesh you right now. And the second person hands her the kesef kedushin for an effective kedushin immediately. She is now mekadesh to the second person. So Basi Sola Kohen Tocha B'Truma, and the Mishnah just simply wants us to hear like how married they are. If he was a Kohen and she was a Basi Sol, she'd be allowed to eat Truma. That's very married. That in of itself is not a Chiddush. It's not a Chiddush, it's just, right, correct. It's emphasis that they are really married. So Me'achshav Alachar Shoshim Yom, and then the Mishnah gives us a third case. The third case is confusing. I want to marry you Me'achshav, which means immediately, B'Alachar Shoshim Yom. And I want the kedushin to take effect after 30 days. Well, those two statements can't coexist. It's either now or it's after 30 days. You don't have both. Kedushin takes effect once. So ulachar shoshim yom uvachar v'kisha besoch shoshim yom. And what happens is that somebody comes along and is mekadesh within those 30 days. Mekudeshes v'ena mekudeshes. Well, you gave her now a suffix kedushin. Suffix because we don't know what you meant. You said now, and then you said after 30 days. So is she married to you now? Maybe. And somebody comes in and wants to take advantage of the situation and wants to be mekadesh her with unequivocal terms of right now. So is she married to the second person? Well, maybe. In other words, just like she was maybe married to the first person, she's now maybe married to the second person. That's the Mishnah's Mekudeshes Vein and Mekudeshes. And Bas Yisrael Lekoi, no Bas Koin Le Yisrael Lo Socha B'Truma. And now, again, the Mishnah just wants to emphasize, this is a Suffolk Kedusha now. So if he was a Koin and she was a Bas Yisrael, she'd not be allowed to eat Truma, because we don't know if this Kedusha takes effect. Okay, and again, another quick reminder. In other words, the Mishnah is telling us, I want to emphasize that they're married, and I'm just going to use as a litmus test as to whether or not she can eat Truma or she cannot eat Truma. Remember, we've gone over this point a number of times. It's fair to review. And that is that from the point of Kedushin, Min HaTorah, she's allowed to eat Truma. A Bas Yisrael married to a Kohen can eat Truma, effective from Kedushin. In other words, the Torah's definition of who can eat Truma, a Kohen and Kinyan Kaspo. Somebody that the Kohen was Kona. So Kedushin is a Kinyan. So she can eat Truma immediately. However, the Chachamim said that we wait until the second stage of marriage, until Nisuin, until she eats Truma. There are a couple of considerations that the Gemara has. Our Mishnah over here, when describing how married is she can eat Truma, the Mishnah obviously is talking on a level of Daraisa. Okay. Quick review. Okay, now I already alluded to this first point of the Gemara when I read the Mishnah, but the Gemara says it clearly. And Phil already tapped on this topic, and that is that the Shlich is acting in bad faith. Okay? And the Gemara says it even stronger. The Gemara is quoting a Braisa. The Braisa says it even stronger. Masha Asa Asui, the Shlich, what did he do? He was commissioned to serve as an agent of the Mishaleach, to be Mekadosh's woman for the Mishaleach. And when he sees her, he's taken by her. So he says, you know what? Not for the Mishaleach, but rather for me. So Masha Asa Asui, what's done is done. Elishanag bo minagramos. But this is deception. In other words, it's not in good faith.
If the woman had known that she was a Shliach and she knew the other guy, she would have preferred getting married.
This is now we're talking about human relationship. There's a lot to consider right now. But just the idea that the shliach himself agrees to become a shliach, and then
that's all.
I understand. In other words, there are obviously more to consider, but just that point alone, the Gemara is just focusing on that particular point. V'tani didan halach nami diktani halach b'ramos. And the Gemara adds, and the Gemara says, look, in our Mishnah, you can read that into the Mishnah. In other words, the Mishnah does not make the strong judgment call that the Braisa does. Braisa says it's strong, right? He's a Ramai. He's a deceiver. You could read it into the Mishnah. The Mishnah says halach, and he goes. So in the Mishnah, encrypted in the Mishnah, halach b'ramos. You know, he went, and while he was going, He had bad intention. So, okay, so now, this Mishnah seems similar to what we learned previously in a previous Mishnah, and the Gemara now picks up on that. Over here, so when he talks about a shlich, he says chavero, right? It's his friend, which, by the way, makes it that much more uncomfortable, meaning, some friend, okay? Okay. The person obviously needs better friends, but okay. Anyway, so Mishnah Hasam Diktani, but over there, meaning we're going to go all the way back to Daf Nun, week and a half ago, and there we said HaOmer Lushlucho. So, and if you remember that Mishnah over there was describing, I turned to my Sheikh and I say, I want you to be Mekadosh a woman for me, B'makom Ploni, in that particular location. And he was Mekadosh in a different location, not per my instructions, in a Mekudesh. So Mishnah on Daf Nun says the Kedushin is no good because I told him very clearly, I want the Kedushin to take effect specifically there and nowhere else. And the Gemara over there wonders why was he so particular about that particular location. The Gemara gave suggestions and reasons. We are right now focusing on just simply the language of the Mishnah. Our Mishnah says Chavero. The Mishnah previously said Shlucho. And why the subtle change of language. Hacha Rebusa Kamashmalan, Vahasa Rebusa Kamashmalan, Chidushim. In our Mishnah and in the previous Mishnah, Hacha Rebusa Kamashmalan Diitan Shlucho Hava Mina Shlucho Daver Amai. This Am Chedaita Isavra Avali Shlichusi. So over here, look, I would have said the following: if I appointed, not if I would have turned to not my chavera, but my shliach, a real formal relationship, where I'm saying you are my agent. In other words, outside of that, in other words, maybe there was no friendship. In other words, but the point is that extremely formal, my shliach. And over there, he gets to the destination, sees a woman and says, you know what? No more shliach. I'm going to be mekarsher myself. So there you're ramai. However, but if we would have said chavero, meaning it's informal, right? In other words, it's casual. Look, you know, you're talking to your friend and I was thinking about being mekadesh that woman. What do you think? Maybe, yes, no. Would you go and do it for me? In other words, it's more informal. So in such an informal setting, I would have thought maybe your friend is not a ramai. Again, maybe not the best friend, but that language of ramai, it's a strong language. And maybe if it was an informal appointment, so maybe he wouldn't be a ramai. So kamash malan. So our mission wants to tell us, no, even in such circumstances, even if the relationship is not a formal shlichus, but it's a friend, and I'm asking him as a friend, but when all said and done, he's serving as my agent, and I asked him to do something, and he decides that he's not going to do what I asked him to do, but rather take advantage of the situation, ramai. Hasam, over there, the Mishnah back on Daf Nun, Rabusa Kamashmalan, Itanor Melechaver, Hava Amin Echaver, who, Dichi Kachba Makamacher, Einu Mekadesh, Sosever Lo Tarach. So previously, again, the Mishnah on Daf Nun, I sent my Shlech to be Mekadeshar in a particular location. There, had the Mishnah used the word Chavero, so then I would have said, fine, the Kedushin doesn't work. Aval Shlucho de Tarach. But if I appoint a formal shliach, meaning had the Mishnah said the word chavero, I would have thought like this. Maybe a formal shliach, and I say to him, be mikdash a woman for me, and I tell him where to go, so maybe I understand, and he understands that as a formal shliach, he has a job to do. He wants to perform his job. And therefore, I sent him to a particular place, but maybe if he has to go to another location, he should go. So ema mar makam hulo, and I would have thought that maybe when I said that particular place, maybe mar makam. I'm just telling him here, right? Marry her in that particular place because that's where you're going to find her. But if you happen to need to go somewhere else, so go somewhere else. So kamashman, the chiddush is no. That when I'm specific about where I want the kiddushin to take effect, so there my point is I want the kiddushin to take effect there specifically and nowhere else. Okay. So the Mishnah here on our daf nun tes, the Mishnah is really on nun ches, but our Mishnah on the Mishnah on daf nun, so real subtle changes of language, chavero, shlucho, and the chidushim that come out from that change of language. We're on nun tes and aleph, and we are now starting Ravin. We're towards the top of the amud. Gemara's got a couple of stories to tell. Ravin chasida azal la kedusha le isisa levrei v'kitcha lanafshei. So Ravin Chasida now is going to marry off his son. Now, we already pointed out earlier in the Masechta that a father does not have the right to be Mekadesh his son. So over here, Ravin Chasida must have been authorized by the son that he can accept Kedushin on his behalf. Good. So, and Ravin Chasida does that. And he gets to a family and he identifies a girl and he makes the proposition, you would be good for my son. And here's where the story goes off the rails, B'kiddush al nafshei. And when he gets there, so Ravin Chasida says, you know what? I'm going to be Mekadesher for myself. Okay. So now, V'hatanya mashasa asur eloshanagba minagramos. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. We already pointed out, we already identified that a shlich that acts in this way is acting in bad faith. And worse than that, he's a ramai. Right? We have words and labels to describe such an individual. He's a ramai. And the Gemara is not open to the idea that Ravin Chasida is just simply a ramai. In other words, baked into the name Ravin Chasida, he's not a ramai. So the Gemara says Lo Yavu Niale. So the Gemara says like this. There's more to the story. So right before making any judgment calls, so we need to hear the full story. So now we're hearing the full story, and that is that he went to the family. He made the proposal that she should marry his son, and she said no. I'm not interested in marrying your son. Ah, okay. She then said, I'm interested in marrying you, and he said, okay. There's got to be more details. But the point is that she said no to the son. So the Gemara says, Yibayla le'aduye. So the Gemara says, okay. But then what Rav Chasida should have done is he should have first gone home, explained to his son, look, in other words, I know you appointed me as a shlech. I know you went, you wanted me to mekayesh that particular woman, but she said no. Okay, right? It's that simple. She said no. So I'm just telling you now that I'm going to be mekayesh for himself. In other words, he should have gone back to his son and informed him. So interesting, the Gemara says that Rav and Chassid was concerned that going back to his son would be time lost, and then somebody else might take advantage of that opportunity. So in other words, he felt that he had a real unbelievable opportunity at that point in time, and if he would have taken time away from it, he would have lost that opportunity. Okay, really interesting discussion over here. I'm just going to touch on it, and that is that generally speaking, we say that if a woman is going to be your life partner, that's what, you know, what we call besheret. The Gemara doesn't use that word, obviously. But in other words, but we have Gemaras that tell us that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to make sure that you're going to be marrying the one that you should marry. Right? The beginning of Masechta Sota, we went over this point. Right? Moed Katan, I think, also. Anyway. So over here, it's so interesting. Our Gemara says, you know, if you don't take advantage of it now, you're not Mekadosher now, somebody else may do so. Our Gemara clearly is of the position. This Gemara is clearly of the position that, you know, the Kiddushin can be done by not just you. In other words, it could be that you're going to lose your Besheret. Anyway. So Rava Bar Chanan Yaiv Leizuzei L'Rav Amar Zavna Niala Laha'ara. Second story of this morning. So Rava Bar Chanan gives money to Rav and says, look, I'm interested in making a purchase. Can you serve as my shliach to buy that land for me? Azav Zavna L'Nafshei. And in the second story also goes off the rails. Rav decides, you know what? I know I came here as an agent. I'm no longer interested in serving as an agent, but rather now I'm going to buy it for myself. I'm buying the property for myself. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. I don't understand. This is acting in bad faith. Right? Rav said he would be serving as a shliach. And then he divested shlichus and he did it himself. Like, what's going on over here? So the Gemara says, Bagadali Mahavale. So Larav Nagi Bekavod, Larav Babachan Lo Nag Bekavod. So the Gemara says that the sellers in this case were, the Gemara's description, Baga da Alima. So it was a valley made up of very strong people, strong, influential, powerful people. And in terms of who they're selling to, they're very selective who they're going to sell to. If Rav was a buyer, that they're ready to accept. If Rav Bar Chanan were the buyer, that they're not ready to accept. In other words, similar to the previous story, in that basically they said no to the proposal that Rav Bar Chanan is going to buy the land. Rav said, okay, so then I'm going to buy it. So he buy le Luduye, again, same back and forth. What Rav should have first done is he first should have gone back to Rav Bar Chanan, explained to him that he tried, they said no, and now he's divesting agency. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, yeah, but what he was worried about was opportunity lost. In other words, in the time that he goes back and makes the explanation and then comes back as his own and no longer serving as an agent, so then somebody else may come ahead and buy the land. And so therefore, he felt that he needs to act right now. Okay. So a couple stories regarding people who at first glance looks like they're acting in bad faith, but the Gemara explains, but no, they weren't acting in bad faith. In other words, they proposed to serve as an agent, rejected as an agent, and then they acted on their own behalf. Okay, and now we get to the third story, by far and away the most popular topic in today's daf, and Rav Gidol. Rav Gidol was mahapech ba'ayara. He was looking into a land. In other words, he was looking to make a purchase on a piece of real estate, and he was clearly interested. Azar Rabbi Abba Zavna. So Rabbi Abba comes along and buys it for himself, despite the fact that Rav Gidol was investigating and looking to buy it for himself. So over here, this is a Gemara regarding competition and whether or not somebody can come in and intercept. And that's exactly what happened. Rabbi Abba intercepted. Rav Gidol was looking to buy the land, and Rabbi Abba intercepted. Also, Rav Gidol Kable le Rabbi Zera. And now, Rav Gidol, so he made a formal complaint. Now, I don't know what I mean by that. I don't know who he's complaining to. In other words, this is a, whatever. He made a formal complaint. Let's just leave it like that. Also, Rabbi Zera ve Kable le Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. Okay, so Rav Gidol now complains to Rabbi Zera. Reb Zera in turn complains to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. Amar lei hamtein ad she'ala etzenu l'rego. Okay, so let's wait until we are ola l'rego. Now ola l'rego over here does not mean aliyah l'rego going to Yerushalayim. We're talking about a maraim over here, and unfortunately there was no Beis Hamikdash at this point in time. Beis Hamikdash has been destroyed for multiple centuries at this point in time. So what they mean is that we're going to be mekabel p'nei Rebbe. In other words, on Yantif, so no longer having the Beis Hamikdash and no longer having the ability to be mekabel shechina, so there is an ancient minug to go mekabel your Rebbe. I say ancient minug, by the way. The Gemara cites it all the way back to Pesukim and Navi. Okay, so a real ancient minug that on Yantif you should go see your Rebbe. So hamten achi ale etzven l'rego. So kisalek, so now. Ashkechei. So now what do they find? They find Rav Yitzchak Nafcha. And Amar lei, ani mahapech becharara, uva'acher unitala heimenu, mai Amar lei nikarasha. Okay, so, the way this entire discussion is framed is, ani hamahapech becharara. Meaning this is a phrase, the term that describes competition and somebody coming in and basically cutting off the competition, or cutting in front of the line. Somebody was looking, and Ani, a poor person, was looking, mahapich becharara. There was a particular cake or cookie that the Ani was interested in acquiring for himself. Now, I keep using the word interested, by the way, and obviously in this discussion, it's important to try to identify and define what exactly that means, you're interested. In other words, you're looking at it. In other words, if you actually pick it up, it's yours, and so at that point in time, you made the kinyan. So it's a little bit unclear in this discussion, and it's an important point, which I really am struggling trying to define. And what does that mean that you're a mahapech, right? Literally, that word mahapech means turning it over. But in the context of the Gemara, what it means is that you're showing a serious interest in it, in the item that you're looking to purchase, property, real estate, or a cookie, one or the other. Either way, so ani mahapech becharara, so you have this. You have a poor person who is now looking at a cookie, and somebody else comes along and takes it. So my, so what's the din? So Am relates to Rabbi Abba, says to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, so Nikar Rasha. Such an individual is described as a Rasha. Okay, obviously, very strong term to describe somebody who goes ahead and cuts in front of somebody else. So he says, okay. So now remember, Rav Gittel was the aggrieved party. Rav Gittel was the one who was interested in buying the land. And then comes in Rabbi Abba and cuts right in front of him to buy the land. And so now Rav Gittel says, wait 1 second. I'm asking you about Ani HaMahapech B'Charara. You're telling me that such an individual is a Rasha. And somebody cuts in front of the Ani. You're telling me that person who cut in front of the Ani is a Rasha. And meanwhile, that's you. So Hashtanami. Sorry, important words I skipped. Amar lei lo hava yadana. So he says, oh, I didn't know. Meaning, I was just so focused. I was so zeroed in on buying that property, I didn't know that you were investigating to buy the property. I didn't know. Okay, simple explanation. So hashtanami neisvei nealeimar. So now, look, in other words, Rav Gittel was seriously looking to buy that property. You cut in. So now what you should do is you should give it to Rav Gittel. So Amalei Zavuna Lamazavnina Lei Darakamaisehi Velomisamna Milsa. So Ibaye Bematan Nishkale. Really interesting answer by Rabbi Abba. And that is, he said, look, here's the story. Story is that this is the first property that I purchased. It is not a good simon for somebody with that first property they purchased to go ahead and to sell it. It's just not a good simon. Okay, so many interesting points coming from this Gemara over here. In other words, they're worried about simanim and omens and okay, a lot of interesting points. But anyway, so he really felt that it was a bad simon to go ahead and sell it. But at the same time, however, he didn't want to be labeled a rasha. I'm not going to sell it to you, but I'll gift it to you. So Rav Gittel lo nachis le'dichsiv asanim matanas yichya. Now, as far as Rav Gittel is concerned, he didn't want a gift. In other words, the pasuk tells us in Mishlei sonim matanas yichya. You are a person who hates gifts and refuses gifts. You're going to live. So you should not be a recipient. You should be on the giving side of life, not on the receiving side of life. Right? As a basic philosophy, hashkafa, from the Pasuk and Mishlei. And Rabbi Abba lo nachis le'mishem da'afich ba'Rav Gittel. On the other hand, Rabbi Abba refused himself to go ahead and settle that property, develop that property, because Rabbi Abba did not want to be a Rasha. So Lamar Nachisle v'Lamar Nachisle. So each one of them now had reasons in terms of why they wanted to distance themselves from that property. Rav Gidl didn't want to be a Rasha. Rabbi Abba did not want to be a recipient of a gift. Lamar Nachisle v'Lamar Nachisle m'yat umitakra ara derabanan. From that point forward, that particular piece of property was always called the land of the rabbis. Land of the rabbis. Ara derabanan. You look at Rashi. Rashi writes over here. Hefker l'talmidim. In other words, basically, it became a dorm for the students. Right, the students can go ahead and go onto that property because it almost became like hefker. Okay, such an interesting story. Okay, there's a lot of halacha l'maisa over here in this Gemara. Obviously, somebody's interested in something and somebody undercuts him. Somebody intercepts and swoops in and takes and is overly aggressive. And that over aggressive behavior, the Gemara calls it a rasha. And now it's the big question, which I'm not going to discuss. I'm just going to open up the door, but I'm certainly not going to discuss it, is that, in other words, halachically speaking, when does this take place? When is this true? That your over-aggressive behavior is deemed as being a rasha. Okay. Clearly in the Gemara over here, there's such a case in halacha where you're overly aggressive and you go ahead and you cut off somebody and you make a kinyan before he does, even though you know he was interested, and you now are being described as a rasha. So when does that apply? Okay, there's a Rashi over here right on our daf. And there's a Tosus over here, and at the end of the Tosus, he really does talk halach lamaisa, right? Tosus at the end of this Tosus talks about malamdim, right? Teachers, where basically one cuts in front of the other in order to get a particular job. Right? Really just basic halacha regarding competition and over-aggressive behavior. Okay, such an interesting topic. We have to go on because we got still a lot more daf to go, and we're already at the midpoint of in terms of time. So we're going to go on, but this is a big sugya, and it's a really interesting and important sugya. V'chein Omer Lisha is Kadesh Li. Okay, we're up to the next case of the Mishnah. Okay, so now we are done with Shlichim acting in bad faith. We're done in labeling a Ramai, a Rasha. And now we move on to the second case of the Mishnah. Second case of the Mishnah, a man goes over to woman in Mikadeshar, but puts a delay in the Kiddushin. The Kiddushin will only take effect after 30 days. And somebody comes in within the 30 days and says, I'm going to be Mikadesh you right now. Okay. The Gemara's comment. So now, what if nobody comes in those 30 days? So what's going to happen? I think we all know the answer. It's kind of obvious. In other words, you're a Mekadesher. She accepted the Ketzav Kedushin. You told her that it's going to be a delay for 30 days. Fine. Set the timer for 30 days. What's going to happen when the timer goes off? I think we all know the answer. She's married. In other words, the Mishnah just wants to make the point that she's not married until 30 days. But in other words, but if nobody comes in and is Mekadesher within those 30 days, she's married to the first guy. It's an obvious point. The Gemara says yes, but we're going to add to that point. Rav Shmuel Dami Tavai Mekudeshes Afapi Shinis Aklu. Ah, so what do we want to do? We want to add, and we want to say a chiddush. Rav Shmuel makes the following chiddush: she's married to the first man, even though once the timer goes off 30 days later, what happened to the Kesef Kedushin? She spent it already. Ah, now we have a chiddush. So in other words, he gives her the Kesef Kedushin on day one. He puts a delay in the Kedushin that shouldn't take effect for another 30 days. Nobody else comes in. Nobody else gets involved. She is now Mekudeshes on day 30, even though the money's already spent. That's a chiddush. So my time of Hani Zuzi Lo Lemilvadava, Lo Lemilvadamu, Lo Lepikadundamu. Because what category is this money? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what it's not. It's not a milva, it's not a pikada. So Lepikadun Lo Dami, Pikadun Bershusa Damara Kamet Achle, Vehani Bershusa Dida Kamet Achle. So it's not a pikada because you know what a pikadon is? A pikadon is a deposit. Somebody asked me to watch his item. Over here, when he gives her the money for Kiddushin, is it his money? No. He's giving it to her as Kiddushin. So it's not a pikadon. And milva nami lo dami milva ho'osanitna. Hani b'tars Kiddushin yahavinu ni'ala. And it's also not a milva as well, because milva lo'osanitna. I'm giving you money so that you're going to be spending the money, but obviously you're going to owe me back the debt. over here, he's giving her the money, true, to spend, but in other words, he's giving the money because he's giving her the money. In other words, this is a full transfer of the money from him to her. So it's not a milveh, which means now that it's not a pikadon, it's not a milveh, so what is it? There's only one category left to describe it as, kesef kedushin. Even though the kedushin hasn't taken effect yet, the actual effect of the kedushin is only 30 days later, doesn't matter. In other words, she was given the kesef kedushin as kesef kedushin, and there's simply no other categoric way to look at that transfer of money. It's not a pikadon, it's not a milveh. Okay. Next, lo ba'acher v'kitcha chazra ba'mahu. Okay. Now, interesting discussion coming up over here. In that 30-day delay, again, he gives her the money. I'm going to be mekadesh you. It's going to take effect 30 days from now. He puts the timer for 30 days. Okay. Now, within those 30 days, so what did he do? For whatever reason, he wanted the effect to take place 30 days later, and now he's given her time to think. Mistake. And within those 30 days now, she's now thinking over, should I really be mekudeshes to him? And she decides, you know what? No. She's chozer. She retracts, she recants. So, chazra ba'mahu. What's the halacha now where she's chozer? Within those 30 days. So, Rabbi Yochanan amar chozeres asi dibor mevatel dibor. Reish Lakish amar eno chozeres lo asi dibor mevatel dibor. So here we have a classic machlokas, Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, in terms of whether or not she has a zchus chazara, whether she can retract within those 30 days. So Rav Yochanan's position is that, yes, she can retract. Because what is she doing? In other words, she made a verbal commitment, and so her retraction is just simply a verbal refusal. In other words, her commitment to begin with was verbal, and so therefore, asi dibor umevatel dibor. Her verbal commitment to begin with can be undone by a verbal refusal, a verbal rejection. And Reish Lakish's position is no chazara. Lo asi dibor mevatel dibor. Okay. This all needs to be unpackaged and clarified better, and we're going to do that right now. Eisvei. Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. So here we go now. Challenges from Rav Yochanan to Reish Lakish. Again, according to Rav Yochanan, asi dibor mevatel dibor. A verbal rejection can go and undo a verbal commitment. How do I know that? So let's take a look at the following. So, Bitel, the Mishnah in Trumos is describing somebody appointing a shliach to go ahead and to be mafish Trumos. And then the Balabayis subsequently says, you know what? A retraction. I'm being mevato the shlichas. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. What did I just do? I verbally appointed him to be my shliach, and now how do I undo it? Verbally. In other words, I'll see deeper and mevatel deeper. It's that simple. Now if I caught him after he was mafish shumas and maestros, I caught him too late. But as long as I caught him before he was mafish shumas and maestros, so I can undo my appointment by just simply a verbal rejection. It's very simple, right? So shani nesinas maus liyad isha dechi maisa dami velo asadimra mevatel maisa. So what Reish Lakish will say in his defense is as follows. And hopefully you were thinking this point, and just polite and haven't brought it up yet, and that is that the cases are not comparable. In the case of Truma, where I'm appointing an agent, so that's strictly a verbal appointment. And that could be undone verbally. Over here, when it comes to the woman, I'm a Kaddish woman. It's true, there was a lot of words being said. I say a lot. Hare at mekudesh yasli b'tabazu, kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. It's not a lot of words. But in other words, there is a dibur that's true, but I'm also handing her money. In other words, it's part of the kedushin, kesef kedushin, so you need to hand her money. You're giving her money. It's not just dibur. It's dibur with nesinas kesef. That's not the same. And what Reish Lakish will tell you is that now she can't just simply reject and refuse by just verbally saying, no, I'm not accepting, after she originally agreed verbally with being presented the money. So the original commitment was dibor and maisa, which can't be undone just by dibor. That is a wonderful defense of Reish Lakish. Eisvei, the Gemara says, okay, let's do it again. Ashlech yet liishtav igia. Bashliach, Chosh Shalach Achara Shliach, Amar Lo Geshe Nasatilach Batohu. So I raise that batoh. So now we're looking at the Mishnah and Gittin, beginning of the fourth parak. I didn't check it up. I hope I'm right. So the Mishnah and Gittin taught us that if I go ahead and give a get to a shliach to give to my wife, and I intercept before it gets there, so I raise a batoh. So I'm kibi mevato. So the hanesinas get liyash shliach, the chinesinas mal liyad isha dame v'ketani raise a batoh. So over there, look. Not only did I appoint a shlich, but I gave him the get. So that's Dibur and Maisa. It's Dibur and Maisa plus, and I'm sorry, not plus. It's Dibur and it's Maisa, and it can be undone with just simply a verbal rejection. I can go over to the shlich and say, you know what? No, you're not my shlich. So over there, we have Dibur and we have Maisa, and it can be undone. So Reish Lakish, what are you going to say about that? So hasam nami kol kama de lamata gita liyada. So dibur v'dibur hu, and also dibur mevatel dibur. So Reish Lakish's counter argument would be very simple. That's just dibur, meaning I know you gave the get to the shliach, but giving the get to the shliach, he's your shliach. So that's not a maisa. In other words, that action did not represent any kind of legal transfer. Maisa is when, let's say, for example, the woman's accepting the kesef kiddushin. That's a maisa, because now she's mekudeshes. Now, in our case, you put it on delay, but still, she received the kesef kedushin. That's a maisa. You handing a get to your shliach, it's basically no different than you taking the get from your right hand and putting it in your left hand. That's not a maisa. So Reish Lakish still defends himself. Eisve Reish Lakish Rav Yochanan Kol Hakeim Yordan Lidei Tumasan B'machshava Vein Olim Lidei Tumasam Ela B'Shinui Maisa. So Kol HaKelim. So this is a Mishnah in Kelim in the 25th parak of Masechta Kelim. Masechta Kelim made up of 30 parakim. So we're deep into the Masechta 25. And the basic rule regarding Kelim. A Kelim is Mekabel Tumah when you finished it. When did you finish it? When you decide that you finished it. And that's what the Mishnah effectively is telling us. Yordin Ledei Tumasam Machshava. When you made a decision that the Kli is finished, I'm done, so now it's Mekabel Tumah. However, now let's say after you finish the kli, you decided, you know what? I want to make some wholesale changes to that kli. Can I now remove the status of kli? No. There you need a maisa. So over there, maisa motzi miyad maisa, umiyad machshava, and machshava in motzi alo miyad maisa velo miyad machshava. And so over here, just a really simple rule, and that is that I can only undo with a maisa. I can't undo with a machshava. Okay. What we're seeing clearly over here is that the only thing that can undo a dibur is going to be a maisa. Now, bishlama miyad maisa lo mafke lo se dibur mavatel maisa la miyad machshava miyad topic. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Over here, if it's machshava versus machshava, and again, over here, machshava means dibur, right? A thought. A thought that was verbalized. It's a dibur. So over here, I don't understand. Meaning, I've got dibur and dibur. So why can't dibur undo dibur? Shani machshava d'tumah d'chi maisa damu. All right, brilliant answer. And that is that when it comes to tumah, so a thought regarding tumah is like a maisa. When you are making a kli and you make a conscious decision articulating that you are now finished and done with it, and vis-a-vis the world of tumah, in the status of tumah, That is tantamount to a maisa. And so therefore now it's as if you have actively finished the product. Now you want to undo it. It can only be undone with a maisa, not with a machshava. Okay. Uchid Rapapa and the Gemara points out that this idea that in the world of tumah, thoughts, articulated thoughts are powerful, more powerful than any other area of halacha. The Gemara points out, we know this. If we had more time, I'd do much more in terms of introducing and building up to this point. But this is basically machshirin. We've gone over this point numerous times. Anyway, all I'm going to simply say for right now is that when it comes to hechsher, which is when a fruit is going to be mekabel tumah, what's significant? Your thought. Your thought now will create a status of mukhtar lekabel tuma. Let's just leave it like that. Okay. What do we have right now? A fundamental debate between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan in terms of how to undo a verbal commitment. Okay, now, if it's just a verbal commitment, so it can be undone verbally. That part's clear. If it's a verbal commitment with a little maisa, so can you undo it verbally? Rav Yochanan says yes, Reish Lakish says no. Specifically in our case where she accepted the Kesef Kedushin, he put the timer on to 30 days, the effect will not take place for another 30 days. And now can she undo the Kedushin verbally? Rav Yochanan says yes, within those 30 days. Rav Yochanan says yes, and Reish Lakish says no. And we just went over the back and forth, the classic back and forth of the Gemara, in terms of defending both, or attacking both of the positions, and defending both of the positions. Here we go now, round number two of this type of discussion. Razid Masin Lahashmaitata, aha. The Machlok is Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rav Zvid presents it, but a little bit differently. His launching pad is going to be not our Mishnah, but a Mishnah coming up later in the Masechta. Much later in the Masechta, Daf Ayin Tes. V'chein ish enasna v'shul shul shulcha l'kacha v'halcha hi v'kisha asatzma. Im shal ha-kadmu kidushin kidushin v'im shal shulcha kadmu in kidushin kidushin. She sends the shleach to be mekabel kidushin for her. And then she goes ahead and is mekadesh herself. So just a question now of the timeline. Who was Mekadosh first? If she was Mekadosh first, her Kedushin takes effect. If her Shliach, which she appointed, was Mekadosh first, so then she is married to whoever Shliach was Mekadosh. Lo kisha satzma v'chazra b'mahu. Okay. And so now, simple question. Well, let's say she doesn't accept Kedushin for herself, but she simply just verbally undoes the Shlichus. Is that work? So Mahu Rav Yochanan Amar Chuzeres Reish Lakish Amar No Chuzeres. So here we go. Machlokas Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. Now, Rav Yochanan Amar Chuzeres Asi Dibor Mevatel Dibor. Now, Rav Yochanan's position is that her appointment of the Shliach, of her Shliach, is a verbal appointment, can be undone verbally. Reish Lakish Amar No Chuzeres Asi Dibor Mevatel Dibor. And Reish Lakish will tell you, no, a Dibor cannot be Mevatel Dibor. And Esve. Now, before we go on, by the way, because the next part I'm going to do really quickly, because the next part is going to be the same sequencing of I'm going to ask this question and this question, this question, from this Mishnah, that Braisa, etc., etc. And it's going to be the same. But I do want to point out, however, that the starting point of Rav Zvid is different than our starting point, meaning that the way we present it in round number one is from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, she accepts the Kesef Kedushin. It's not just a verbal commitment. It's a verbal commitment with a bit of a Maisa. In the case on Ayin Tes, which Rav Zvid is launching from, his launching pad is different. Because over there, she's appointing her shliach. That really is just a verbal commitment. So it's really interesting. It's not, even though it's the same machlokas Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, from Rav Zvid's standpoint, the case in which he's launching from is just verbal. So it's not the same. So anyway, the next part I'm going to read really quickly because it's going to be the same back and forth. And so I'm not going to ask for forgiveness over here. I'm just going to simply say, see above. So, Eisve, Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, Bitel, Imat, Shalot, Tarim, Bitel, Ein, Truma, Truma, Amar, Rav, Hachem, Bama, Eskin, Kegon, Shekanam, Balabais, Vatarim, Eskir, Yod, Dehavale, Maisa. So what about the case of Truma, where I can undo my appointment of the Shlech verbally? So here, Rav says, no, what we're talking about over here, the Balabais, what he does is that he doesn't just simply undo it verbally. He himself goes out to the field and he's mafit shumas and maestros. So it's an action undoing his verbal appointment of the shliach. Eitzri Reish Lakish kol hakelim yardim tumasa memachshava veinolim tumasa melebishinoi maisa maisa motzi miyad maisa umiyad machshava machshava ino motzi alo miyad maisa velo miyad machshava. The Mishnah kelim. So bishlam miyad maisa lo mafka lo asidibar mevata maisa elo miyad machshava miyad tapik amalei shani machshava detum adichi maisa damei. And uche de Rav Papa Rami, ki yitin v'karina ki yutan, haketa ki yutan domi dechi yitin, ma yitin de nichalei, af yutan nami de nichalei. The back and forth regarding kalim, and the idea that by tumah, a verbal articulation is like a maisa. Eitzvei, let's do it again. Eitzvei, Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, ha-shalech yet liishto. Once again, we'll go back to the Mishnah and Gittin. By the way, if you're following really well, you'll notice that it's the same back and forth, but not in the same order that we presented in round number one. Okay. A verbal undoing of your appointment of shlichus when it comes to get. So to yufta the Reish Lakish to yufta. And a verbal undoing is sufficient. You can verbally undo your appointment of the shliach. Now Reish Lakish, what are you going to say about that? And he's got nothing to say about that. Meaning that really is a solid refutation of Reish Lakish. Because there... it is a verbal appointment, and it's a verbal undoing. Asi dibor mevatel dibor. We see clearly over there. The halacha falls like Rav Yochanan. Now, the fact that the halacha falls like Rav Yochanan in round number two, in version number two, in the Rav Zvid version, that's obvious. We just cited the Mishnah in Gittin, clearly a refutation of Reish Lakish. But we're going to say even more. The Gemara is going to say even more. Even in round number one, even the first presentation, the halacha falls like Rav Yochanan. Now the Gemara says, "Va'afilu be'kamaisa, va'afagav di'ikal ameimar shani nesinas mals liyadish de'chamaisa dame afilu hachi asi dibor mevatel dibor." And even though in the case of kiddushin, it's not that he just simply proposed to her hare at mekudeshesli, he gives her the money, she accepts the money. That's a maisa, but still it can be undone with dibor. Now that's of course fascinating, meaning. I guess we could ask the question really simply. Why? Meaning in the Rav Zvid version, it's really Dibor versus Dibor. That's easy. And a Dibor can undo a Dibor. The Mishnah in Gittin says it really clearly. But in our case over here, it's Dibor plus Maisa. So what you're going to have to say, I mean, I think I'm just articulating the simple pshat of the Gemara. What you're going to have to say is that she's accepting the money, but remember, it's on a delay. And the effect is not taking place until 30 days from now. Her accepting of the money right now is not a significant maisa. You have to say something along those lines. And that principally right now, it is nothing more than just a verbal commitment. And then subsequently, if she wants to go ahead and retract and recant verbally, she has the right to do so. Meaning you have to say something along those lines. The Gemara says, that's great. So afilu hachi asi dibor mevatel dibor. Kashi hilchasa hilchasa. So the Gemara says, okay, now... In terms of the halach lamaisa, so we now know that you can be mevatel dibor with a dibor. That's clear. And even in our case, you could do so. The Gemara says, but I'll tell you what's difficult. And that is, Amar tilchazak Rabbi Yochanan v'kaimalan ilchazak Rav Nachman. Di bailahu, mao shiachzer v'garishbo. Rav Nachman amar chozer megarishbo. Rav Sheshes amar eno chozer megarishbo. V'kaimalan ilchazak avaskan to Rav Nachman. Okay. After you went ahead, in the case of Gittin, and undid the appointment. You appointed a shliach, you unappointed him. Okay? So now, let's say you change your mind even again. And can you now use the get? So the answer, it's a machlokes. The halacha is, you can. You can use the get. Now, I don't understand. Didn't we say that a dibor can be mevatel dibor? And you're already probably thinking of the Gemara's response. Nehid debatli mitor shliach, mitor get lo batli. Gemara says, yeah, what did you undo? You only thing you undid was just the appointment of the shlichus. As far as the get is concerned, the get is still locked and loaded. It's still a good get. It just happens to be that the only thing you're undoing is, I no longer want you to be serving as my agent. That's the only thing you undid.
Is there such a thing as a re'ach get in the case of that?
In terms of re'ach get, I don't know. In terms of, can you negate the get itself? Can you undo the power of the get? So happens to be, see Tosus over here, right? Tosus writes, last Tosus on the Amud. Perish mistame in the miskav levata ala shliach lefize im amar beferish ani mevata haget atzmo shu batel upasal. Right, Tosus says that it sounds like from the Gemara that you have every ability to go ahead and to be mevata the actual get itself if that's what you elect to do. Okay. Yeah. This is a good place to pause. Okay, yeah, let's do that. All right, we got into the third parak of the Masechta, and so many interesting topics in today. It's like a little bit of an overload in terms of every daf is interesting, but just like very basic topics about competition, aggressive behavior, being a ramai, being a deceiver, acting in bad faith. My goodness, it's really a big daf. Okay, so let's see if we can organize and summarize the daf today. Okay, you are appointing a shliach to be to be Mekadesh a woman, and he goes there and he's struck by that woman, and he decides that he's going to marry her for himself, and he's no longer going to be acting as a shliach. So that was the first point of the Mishnah. And what do we say in the Gemara? He's a Ramai. He's a Ramai. He's a deceiver. And then that led the Gemara to the discussion about what happens where somebody is interested in an item and somebody comes along and intercepts an overly aggressive behavior and takes it for himself. So the Gemara says he's a Rasha, right? Really strong, strong language of the Gemara for people who are acting in bad faith and for people who are way over aggressive. What if he's Mekadesh a woman and he puts a delay in the Kiddushin? That's the second case of the Mishnah. And he says, La'achar Shoshim Yom. Somebody comes in within those 30 days as a Mekadesh within those 30 days. So the Kiddushin works for the second person. In other words, because her effect of Kiddushin with the first person is not for 30 days later, which means that for the next 30 days, she is not yet married. Somebody else and wants to be Mekadesh immediately can do so immediately. Good. So that is the discussions that we had in the Mishnah. Again, in the Gemara, in the Amud Aleph of today's daf, we talked about competition and overly aggressive behavior, a number of stories that were told. And then, in the ensuing discussion of the Gemara, so the first observation that we made regarding our Mishnah is that if he puts the Kedushan on a 30-day delay, and nobody else comes along and is Mekadesher and takes advantage of the situation. So what happens? The obvious point in that is that she's Mekudeshes to the first man. The Chiddush the Gemara makes is that even if she already consumes the money, still the Kedushin works. Why? Because the money is not a Pikadon and the money is not a Milva. And the Gemara made both of those points. And then the last thing that we covered over the course of today is undoing a verbal commitment. You made a verbal commitment, a verbal appointment. And now you want to undo it. Can it be done verbally? The answer is yes. It's really that simple. I know the Gemara spent almost an umud discussing it, but the answer is yes. The discussion is complicated by the fact of what if that verbal commitment also has accompanying it a small action, like her accepting Kesef Kedushin, but again, she's not accepting it right now. She's accepting it for 30 days from now. So that's what we're going to call a minor action. So it's a verbal commitment coupled with a minor action. Can it be undone verbally? And the Gemara's conclusion is unequivocally, the halacha is like Rav Yochanan, the answer is yes.